Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Second down and 20 for Mark Sanchez and the New York Jets. Patriots three-man defensive front. Sanchez awaiting the snap. He's got it. Drops back. Stands at the goal line. Looks. Fires over the middle. Intercepted at the 10, at the 5. Touchdown. Patriots. Rob Ninkovich.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Oh, there's a lot of leftover crow in this room. Man, oh, man. I see Paul didn't finish his. God. Andy, there's some over there. I think Frank picked the Patriots. Or did he? I can't remember.
Fred
picked
the Patriots. Patriots on the show. Yes, he did. He was the only one.
Yeah. Of course, my Thursday partner, Bilo, was the only other person that had such that had just the audacity to pick the Patriots. God forbid. Well, I tried to warn you, people. I tried and I tried again. I do my damnedest every week to tell everybody. I try to tell my friends in the media locally and nationally not to get caught up in all the stupid little buzzwords and phrases. And yeah, I understand, on paper how things look. And as I said on Sunday doing my picks and I was goofing around, but perception quite often in the National Football League, especially with your New England Patriots, is not reality. And I don't know why it takes, again, another game like this for people to figure that out. It goes way beyond X's and O's here, what people look like on talent-wise, on paper. When are people going to realize that? And it really goes further than the Patriots. It's about the entire National Football League for the most part. But at least people around here should know better. You know? I keep telling you, there are a whole bunch of teams that have problems. You look at Baltimore. I mean, how pathetic was that? You know, the Steelers, a nice win on the road against Cincinnati. You look at Detroit coming back down to earth like I thought they would. The Bills, they're done, in my opinion. And the Jets, you still don't know what the Jets are all about. But people take the one game last week, really a half of football, against the Bills last week or 2 weeks ago that the Jets played, and all of a sudden, they're invincible. Well, they're invincible because Buffalo turned the ball over a bunch of times in that game. It was still 3-0 at the halfback in that game. And the Bills just peed that game away to the Jets. If you go back and look at the tape of that game, you know, it's not like, you know, the Jets marched up and down the field 95 yards a clip and just like tore them apart. No, yeah, the defense played well in that game. That particular day against that particular team with that particular set of circumstances. Okay? It worked out to their advantage. That doesn't mean it's all of a sudden going to trend into a week to week thing. And as I said, nobody was talking about how the Patriots had just played Dallas, Pittsburgh, the Giants. I mean, the Jets, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and the Giants. Four pretty good defenses as to why some of their point totals went down. And now we find out in five games, and two of those were against the Jets, they scored 30 or more in both of those games. But you still had Dallas, Pittsburgh, and the Giants, three pretty good defenses, 2-1 score losses, and people hit the panic button. Why? Why? And now you look ahead to Kansas City. Was that going to be ugly here on Monday night? You have to feel bad for the Chiefs and Romeo Crennel because, man, they're going to get their butts whipped. At Philadelphia, possibly no Michael Vick there. And even if he did play, I kind of hope he does, to be honest with you. Indianapolis here, that's going to be a romp. At Washington, Washington is just not good. They're just not very good. At Denver with Tim Tebow, if he's even starting then. And I don't know what you make of that team. I mean, maybe they do well against Kansas City's in Miami when they play a real team. I can't believe they're gonna function that way with the way that style of play is gonna do, they're gonna make it. And then you got Christmas Eve here against Miami and January 1st against Buffalo. So I'm gonna tell you right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 7 games that they have left. Mark my words that at least 6 of those 7 games will be 30 plus points. And I think it'll be 40-plus come Monday night here. All right? Now, does that mean they're automatically going to be given a berth to the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. Because what will happen now is the trend will be, and I don't think the Patriots are going to lose the rest of the year. I really don't. And I thought that even if they lost a tight game on Sunday night, I would have thought the same thing, barring any major injuries to Brady. But now I'm more convinced than ever that my original prediction of the beginning of the year of 13-3 is going to hold up. Because I just don't see it. I mean, again, any given Sunday, anything can happen. We all know that. But do any of those games seriously worry anybody? Kansas City at Philly, home to Indy, at Washington, at Denver, Miami, and Buffalo here? No. Not one bit. Basically, the easiest schedule left in the NFL on paper. On paper. So I expect, even with the defensive bang-ups that they have, and there's some pretty good ones, that this team is going to be fine. I still think they're going to have a hard time losing the rest of the year. But that was one hell of an impressive win on Sunday. And I love it when people now say, oh, it was Sanchez and the Jets, so it's not as important, when those same people last week were killing this team. Even still, some of the local media people, all those shows on Sunday night, some of them, just, they were shoving so much crow in their face, you know, like big wads of bubble gum and chew, they didn't know what to do. So they start to downplay the win. Ah, well, you know, smoke and mirrors, this, that, and the other thing. Baloney! Because if the opposite had happened, those people would have left this team and buried them for dead. And it didn't happen. Again. And again, when they overcame all this adversity and all the inefficiencies they had on defense, allegedly on defense, all that crap, all the little buzzwords and phrases you heard all week long, for the upteenth time that Belichick and Brady have been at the helm of this team since 2001, it backfires on the general public and most of the media once again, and they shove it right down your throats. They don't just win, they shove it right down your throats. I love it. I freaking love it. I tried to warn you. I tried to warn some of you about falling into these media-trapped buzzword-type of games instead of looking at each game individually and stop with this trendy stuff that what happened against the Giants is not necessarily going to happen against the Jets, and what happened against Miami on week one does not mean it's going to happen in week six. The NFL is a very unpredictable league, for the most part. It is for teams that don't have a lot of character. The Patriots do. So they may hit a bump in the road here and there now and then, but they are going to be a competitive team, and they will compete for the Super Bowl this year. They will compete for the Super Bowl this year. I don't know how anybody can say they can't, barring any major injury to Brady. Anyway, welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. We're here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, and Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. And I understand why people thought they might lose on Sunday night, because I thought it would be 23-20. I thought it would end up being a much closer game. But I had that feeling in the first quarter, the way things were going, even though it's only, I think, a 6-0 lead for the Patriots. You know, and then the Jets missed that chip shot field goal, and at the end of the first, all that, I just had that feeling. I said, you know what? And I turned to my wife and I said, this is going to end up badly for the Jets tonight. It was only 6-0 at the time. And I said, this Jet team tonight is going to be a big, big trouble. I can just sense it. I've seen it too many times before. And it's happened so many times when the entire world lines up against this team, how they just have the resiliency of, unlike any team I've ever seen, they just bounce back. And that's what some other teams are having difficulty with right now. Teams like Detroit, teams like Buffalo. You know, they're having a very difficult time. They're in trouble because you learn in most sports, you learn about the character of your team when things are going badly. That's where you learn the most, not when things are going great, when things are going badly or what you perceive to be badly. And the way people were talking last week after they lost two in a row, heaven forbid, it was like the end of the world was about to happen. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. But you, I mean, what works is the what you should realize is how this team was able to bounce back with authority on Sunday night. With authority. I mean, Rex Ryan, that team was stunned and they were exhausted. They weren't like Miami was exhausted on opening night when the Patriots used that no huddle. But I'll tell you, the Jets at points in that game in the second half were damn close. They had no idea what to expect from the Patriots in that no huddle. They just rammed it right down their throats. Those guys were gasping for air. They couldn't get the sub packages in they wanted to. Patriots didn't allow it. They just ran it right down their throats, running and passing. So, I mean, it was just, that was a thing of beauty. The fact that happened to the foot fetish frauds made it even more enjoyable for someone like me. And I'm sure you as well. And then if you're missing on my Facebook page, I have Rex Ryan swearing at the fan at halftime going in.
Which, I got a question for you, Pete.
Yeah.
And just to stay on topic for a second. And I've wondered this maybe three games so far this season. Mm-hmm. Especially the one that stands out in my mind is the Giants game in the first half. I wondered why they don't go to that
no huddle.
Maybe not even no huddle, but just that
the hurry up
look.
I'm with
where they don't let people sub just for one reason, Pete, because in that Giants game, they seemed like they couldn't find the rhythm. Like they always say the first down of the drive is the key one for the team to get the rhythm and get going moving forward. And I wonder why they don't do that when they're
sputtering. You know, I can tell you this, Kev. I mean, I've sat in this room many times for over a decade with Bill Belichick on Mondays, and there have been times where that question has come up. Most of the years have been good years, but, you know, where they have run the no-huddle to perfection, and then the next week they don't do it. And we've asked them that. I asked them that, Glenn, Easter, Freddie, Steve, everybody, for years. And the answer that always you get from Bill is usually it just depends on what the team you're playing and their personnel, basically, for the most part, or when he thinks it will be most effective. Now, we saw opening night against Miami early on. It was effective, and that's what he thought. He's got his reasons, and I understand where he's coming from. I agree. Sometimes I just like to see him try it and just to see
if they can get something going.
No, I'm with you.
Especially when it's not – I'm not saying, hey, you know – if they have a three and out or a bad series or a turnover, it happens.
Yeah.
I'm not saying – but what I'm saying, Pete, is if you have like 2, 3, 4 possessions where it seems like you're struggling to move it, why not shake it up a little?
No, I'm with you.
Game,
well,
you
the Pittsburgh game, I throw it out because they weren't on the weren't on the field enough. They were on the field for 19 minutes.
And I understand.
But the Giants game, I'm with you because I was wondering that myself. I'm with you. But the answer I can only give is what Billy used to say in the past. It's just he doesn't think it works against certain teams and certain situations.
It is.
But I agree with you. Maybe I'd like to see them try it once in a while, like you said, like in that Giants game where they were struggling a little bit. Well, let's head to the phones at the A Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's Sean in Salt Lake City, Utah. Sean, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
I'm fantastic. What's up?
I was just wondering what you thought of my prediction last week.
Which one was that? I have many predictions. Which one?
I called in and everybody was talking about it was going to be a low-scoring game, and I told you the Pats were going to win by 21.
You did. And I said I didn't think they'd win by 21. You were absolutely 100% correct. I thought they'd win 23-20, but you were dead on. You were dead on accurate.
I wish I could have took that one to Vegas.
Yeah, well, I think many people did because the Patriots ended up being up to a 2.5-point, even 3-point underdog in some lines at kickoff on Sunday. And look, all I know is when the Patriots are an underdog at any time, you grab the points.
I actually have a nitpick and a question for you guys.
All right. Well, nitpick was John, but you can give me a nitpick.
My question is, personal feeling, I think New England's going to light it up rest of the year.
Well, I think so, too. I mean, I think they have a great...
Like 45 points a game, light it up.
Well, I think they have a chance to do 45 against Kansas City on Monday night because that's just going to be ugly. At Philadelphia, I mean, Indianapolis, no. I mean, they're going to put up at least 30, I think, in six of the next seven games, easily, against some of these teams. I have no doubt about that. They have the easiest schedule the rest of the way. They've fought off adversity. They've fought off some injuries so far. I mean, they're still going to waste it. There's still some scary injuries out there that they have on defense. However, they should be able to overcome them because of the weaker schedule.
Okay, and before I get to my nitpick, mm-hmm. I have a question. Do you know what's up with McCourty?
Yeah, well, he's going to be out a couple of weeks, I think, Kevin, right? At least a couple of weeks. I'm hoping it's not more than 2 weeks. But that was unfortunate what happened.
That'll be season ending?
No, not that we know of. It's just unfortunate that he collides with Sterling Moore, that Moore hits him, you know, by accident in the helmet. He gets a 15-yard penalty for a guy he didn't even hit. But and then it hurts his own man. That was an unfortunate play.
Okay, so here's my nitpick.
All right.
As much as they've done for the Patriots, I really have a nitpick with Bruschi and Rodney Harrison.
Okay, sure.
Because the last few weeks, I mean, they're diehard Patriots, and they've lit up the Patriots, talking about how they suck and this and that.
My
personal opinion is, if you don't like how the coach is doing it, well, why don't you go and try to help out instead of, I thought at halftime when New England went in, I thought they had that game well in hand.
Score-wise,
but they were dominating the game even at halftime.
All right, first of all, let's be fair. And Teddy's probably 20 feet away from me right now in the next room, next door, doing a podcast. He is. But I don't ever remember Teddy coming out and saying they suck. And I don't remember Rodney coming out and saying they suck. All right, because Rodney was just being, he's doing his job as a media, being a little skeptical about the Patriots defense and about, but I do think some guys, I'm not saying Rodney and Teddy because they know better, they get caught up, not those two guys, they get caught up in what happened with Pittsburgh and the Giants, and they think that's going to just carry over. Now, I just remember Teddy and Rodney basically being concerned. I don't remember them saying the Patriots sucked or anything to that.
No, let me rephrase that. They didn't say the Patriots sucked. They said the Patriots defense sucked.
Well, yeah, and I understand why some people were saying, and I thought against the Giants game last week they did some really good things. Sergio Brown kind of cost him that game with that stupid interference penalty that he deserved, by the way. That was a huge play. Had the Patriots hung on last week and won that game 23-20 and, you know, one play away from winning the stupid Buffalo game back in week three. I mean, now we're talking, you know, 8-1 right now. And people are talking, but look, they're 6-3. I don't think they're going to lose the rest of the way. I think they're going to finish the season at 13-3 and hopefully they'll get the number one seed.
One other question, and I just wanted your opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's been there, Falk, I think, is kind of a liability in the running game. He's excellent out on screens and pass protection, but since he's came off the injury, or PUP, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's our least performing running back.
Well, the first game, it was kind of some garbage yards where he ended up getting over 5 yards a carry, but it was only like 35 yards or something like that. But look, I think for the most part, you're going to see it's going to be the law firm and Danny Woodhead and Kevin Hughes occasionally on in third down situations, and maybe he comes in on first or second down once in a while, but I just think it's going to be the law firm and Danny Wood. Now, they didn't run the ball, obviously, particularly well. They only rushed for 60 yards as a team on Sunday night, but the way that game was going, and Danny Woodhead did a pretty good job in the second, especially in the fourth quarter, of getting some key yards running the football. He was probably the most effective back they had by a long shot on Sunday night. I just think it's gonna be different every week. Kevin Falk certainly has a place on this team, and he can help them. But yeah, rushing the football, I don't think that's gonna be it.
Do you think we'll see Vereen on the field this year?
No, I know
he's there for one or two plays a couple weeks ago.
No, I mean, who are you gonna sit down? You can't. I mean, they already have five running backs active, which, you know, who are you gonna sit down? Ridley? I mean, you're not gonna sit down. You're not gonna sit down, Ridley, Falk, Green, Ellis, or Woodhead. So,
because when we drafted him, I mean, and what I saw from him a little bit in the preseason, Green was supposed to be like our best running back.
Yeah, but again, it's a numbers game. He might very well be in the next year or two, you know. But who right now? Who would you sit? Law firm, Woodhead, Kevin Falk, Ridley. You're gonna sit one of those four guys? No, right? It's just a numbers game right now. It's a numbers game.
I might sit Ridley for a game just to see, or use Vereen in the special teams or something, just to get him going, see what you got.
Well, I think Bill knows what he has. I think if he thought Vereen were ready to go over Ridley, he'd play him. That's the thing. I mean, that's what practice is for. And trust me, I know Bill. If he thought Ridley wasn't good enough to be in there right now, he wouldn't be playing him. So he has his reasons.
Yeah.
But you might be right towards the end of the season. Who knows what might happen? And you know, those things usually have a way of working themselves out. Running backs tend to get dinged up and banged up, especially down the stretch. So we'll see.
Do you think closer to the end of the season, or even on some of these teams, if we're blowing them out, you think there's any chance that Mallett makes it in this year?
I think it's possible, but that's really not usually Bill's style. You know, he keeps Brady plays, you know, like 99% of the plays, even back in 2007, with a couple of exceptions.
The issue with that, Pete, is Mallett hasn't dressed for a game this year.
Well, that's
so
the other thing.
He would have to be on the active roster.
Exactly, he'd have to be on the active roster.
He's been one of those inactives, those eight guys every single week.
You know, and I remember, Sean, back in 07, I think, is when the Patriots were in Miami and they were destroying them. And Brady came out in the third quarter and Matt Castle came in, and I think he threw two pick sixes in like 5 minutes, and that was the end of that. And that's the last time you saw a backup quarterback come in that year. You know, that year. So I think it's...
Well, because I guess where I was leading with it...
Well, I know, Flynn came in last
night. Drafted him, I really didn't think... He was a long term. More or less, I thought Bill was going to try to groom him, get him a little bit of experience, and then try to trade him off for a first rounder.
Well, I don't know what his plans are. I mean, but for the future, I don't know. That's possible. I guess it's possible. I'd be lying to you if I said I'm going to even attempt to figure that out, because it's not going to happen this year. So next year, we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Let's keep with the phones and head to on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Doc's in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Doc.
Hey, how are you, Pete?
Good. What's going on?
Times last year. Well, I'm had to call you first. Congratulations on your wedding.
Thanks. Oh, let me just say this real quick. Because where's my Ross Ventrone chart? Ross Ventrone once again has been released. And Malcolm Williams has been signed to the practice squad. Now, again, Williams is 23 years old, drafted by the Patriots in the seventh round. But by tomorrow at this time, somehow Ross Ventrone will be back on the team.
It's his sixth release and 14th roster transaction since the lockout ended.
Unbelievable.
Good, because I'm wearing my Ross Ventrone shirt. And what am I going to do with it?
We all should. We should. You know, now they're doing all these occupying, occupying all over the world. We should occupy the studio until Ross Ventrone gets a permanent spot.
It makes sense because he was on the active roster due to the lack of depth
and safety
for this game.
Yep.
And if they're going to move Marcus Cannon to the active roster, they had to get
to do something. I kind of figured he was going to be the one. But what's on your mind, Doc?
Well, I just had to call to sort of revel in Jets glory after last year. So
why not?
Couple of quick things. I want to thank you and for the rest of PFW crew for last week for handling the Penn State. I'm sure some people might call and say, why are we talking about this? But I think you guys all handled it very well for the vote some time. And it's kind of nice to see that, you know, people could set aside you know, worrying about the Patriots and other things, and, you know, deal with something important. Well, anyways, wanted to revel in the glory and then get your opinion on where do we go from now? Because as you said with the Giants game, had it not been for those penalties and they won, we would remember that as the best win of this year. Brady came back, stuck it to the Manning, yada, yada, and they'd be showing that last play of Brady over and over again. Then you beat the Jets, and now we're the greatest team in the world again. All right, so we were the worst team in the world after the Giants lost. We weren't going to make the playoffs, or if we did, we were going to be knocked out by, I don't know, Oakland or something. So now we're, I assume, what, are we in the middle spot now? We're feeling pretty good, but we're still worried about the playoffs. What do we do as fans?
Well, I think as fans, you should be happy that you have the easiest schedule the rest of the way. And, I don't think they're going to lose another game. I think Kansas City here Monday night is going to be an absolute debacle. Kansas City is horrible right now. They got a guy playing quarterback that, when I read his resume a little bit later on, it's just a shame. They're going to get killed. At Philadelphia, a couple weeks. I mean, with Michael Vick or no Michael Vick, that's a very pretty winnable game. And then you got Indianapolis here, at Washington, at Denver, and then Miami and Buffalo to close out the season at home. I think it's going to be, even with the Patriots banged up on defense right now, more than they have been, I still think they have way much more talent than any of those teams, and they'll be able to survive. And, again, barring any major injury to Brady, they should be able to roll here and close out the schedule and finish up 13-3. Hopefully that's good for a number one seed.
I was hoping, you know, I have a good friend who's a Pittsburgh fan, and we went through this mathematics, mm-hmm. and he hates the Jets too, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of wondered, I said, well, you know, the Patriots might rest people against, say, the Buffalo, Miami, but the way it's looking out, if things are the way they are now and other weirdness doesn't happen, the number one seed's going to get the easiest path to the AFC. You know, they're going to go through whoever the heck is out in the West, maybe, you know, that sort of thing. So they may play, I think, all the way, assuming everything is
Well, let me ask you that. Remember, I mean, when has Bill rested anybody? The only time that's ever really happened was back in 06 when they, you know, when that's the game Flutie drop-kicked the ball through and they lost that game to Miami on a kind of a sort of a questionable pass by I think it was Castle that made the throw in the end zone to whoever it was, I forget, and they ended up. People thought that instead if they had won that game, they had to play the Steelers, and instead,
right,
they ended up playing I think Jacksonville in the first round.
Yeah, so, I remember that, and I think you also mentioned another game, though I don't think that was as close to the playoffs. I don't remember when Castle came in, and in fact, he was one of the reasons why people wanted to get rid of Castle just before Brady got injured, because everybody remembered
but,
his last.
But for the most part, they play everybody. All the starters are going to play 90% of the time all the way down the stretch here.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I won't keep you.
That's
best wishes. I'll let
my friend.
Real Statistics Doc. Have a good day, Pete.
All right, thanks a lot, Doc. Appreciate it. That's Doc from Seattle, Washington. Let's take a quick break. I got a Facebook message to read, too, as well as some emails. For many of you, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Quick break and back with more as we talk about how much crow did you have to eat, if any, after the Patriots romp over the Jets on Sunday night. We're talking about it here on patriots.com. Back after this.
You're a business traveler who's flying away. You can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEAT. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah,
good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it? Right?
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio at patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
And welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 o'clock tonight. We do this every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the Patriots football season, right up until, hopefully, yet another Super Bowl win. But a long way away from that, taking it game by game as we always do. But we're talking about the Jets' loss to the Patriots on Sunday night in the Meadowlands. And I finally got my friend Tyler had two little montages of my song, you know, I Hate the Jets with the Patriots. And there's part one and part two both up there now. Somebody, part two was taken down last night. I don't know how. Somebody must have done it by, I don't know. Sometimes I can't figure this stuff out. Somebody can take stuff down off your wall. But anyway, they're both up there now in case you want to check it out. Facebook, me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P, A-R-D. And also email me, webradio@patriots.com. And the phone lines are open as well. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let me get to some of these emails from Chad, my man Chad. Hello, Pete. Man, what a win. That was a crucial game, and once again, the Patriots got the job done, and they absolutely embarrassed Feet Ryan and the jokes on the road. Feels even better since our boys proved Paul and Andrew, the angry haters, wrong. Those two Beavers need to go cover the Seahawks and leave us appreciate our ball club. Here are my points. He's got a whole bunch of them, as always. We'll go through all of them. Here are my points. I'm really not sure enough can be said about Carter and Anderson's performances last Sunday night. They looked like Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis type combination out there. DeBrickishaw Ferguson couldn't stop Andre Carter to save his Mark Sanchez's life. Nice duo. Well, I definitely agree with that. That was an incredible game those two had. Carter ended up at 4.5 sacks, set a Patriots record. The no-huddle offense the Patriots utilized in the two drives in the second half was one of the key reasons Brady had such a better half. The drives made up two of the three Patriot touchdown drives, the other of which was a two-minute drill to end the first half. The 8.5-second play Brady made on the non-Gronkowski touchdown was pretty much magical. When we get the no-huddle rolling, our offense is very scary. Agreed. Sebastian Vollmer was clearly not paying attention on that safety. Other than that, it was a long night for the so-called mighty pass rusher Calvin Pace. Boy, did he get owned. I agree. Do you notice how far Sergio Brown has fallen since both Moore and Ventron played over him? Patriots team elected to use Edelman over him, and he played pretty well. That's true. Brown is, I don't know if they have, I don't know if they can cut him right now, but he's last in the depth chart. There's no doubt about that. Mark Anderson's increased snaps allowed Nick to go out there and Rob Ninkovich go out there in coverage more, and it worked, gaining two interceptions. Those linebackers stepped up, and Arrington is progressing remarkably. Hey, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I said it at the beginning of this year. I think Rob Ninkovich over the last 2.5 years is the most improved player on the Patriots. It's not even a close second. He is turning into, like I said, he's becoming what Vrabel was here in a lot of ways. He does a lot of great things. Maybe he's not as consistent as Vrabel. Not quite there at his level yet, but he's getting close. I love his game. Love how he plays. Rob Gronkowski keeps proving why he's the best tight end in the league. No one has the combination of size, speed, blocking hands, and taste in women that he has. Mark Sanchez goes right down the toilet. I love it. Absolutely love it. Good one, Chad. Manny says, good afternoon, Pete. I told you on Wednesday that our Patriots would play a complete game. And that is what happened. Our offense overcame the struggle in the first quarter. Our defense scored and made turnovers, and our special teams was well special. Andre Carter had a great game. The only question is if he can do that every game the rest of the way, and I'm hoping our secondary can just keep it together for the next couple of games. Thanks, Pete, Manny in Miami. Yeah, well, I mean, they can overcome deficiencies in the secondary by a couple of things. One, Andre Carter, Anderson, keep doing what they're doing up front, Will Fork and crew. Because that can turn even a bad secondary into a good secondary. If you continue to get pass rushing like that, you can hide some deficiencies in your secondary. The other thing is the Patriot offense, which is why I think automatically the defense is going to be playing better, because this team is going to put up a whole bunch of points coming up again against this week's schedule, starting on Monday night when they put up 40-plus against Kansas City, in my opinion. So I think the defense is going to look... statistically, it'll look a lot better. In reality, we'll see. I mean, this might be a great thing for them to gain some confidence over the next 7 weeks going up against a weaker schedule. Some people will dismiss it. You'll know it. It'll happen. People will dismiss it because they haven't played, quote-unquote, real teams. But, you know, they all they can do is play the schedule. The schedule is what it is, right? That's all they can do. So what will happen is if they run off the next... seven games here and head to the playoffs, people will say, and the defense looks better, people will say it's a mirage out there. The haters out there will say it's a mirage and that they haven't had a true test yet. And that won't be the case, but that's what will happen. Mark my words. Dave in Monterey, California. Hey, Pete, just wanted to say Sunday night's game has me excited. The Pats D played like, well, we knew they could. They played more 3-4 and 4-3 and less nickel. They played like the teams of old. I'll take mopping up the Jets twice in one season with a no-name defense anytime. Our Pats D look like Belichick D. Ninkovich looked like Brewski and Carter like McGinnis. Having Mayo back in the middle was huge, too. White and Tatina, whatever his name is, look good. I live in California and Tatiana, and only heard last week's game. I got to watch them this week when I feel great about how our Pats are coming along. Dave, you should feel very optimistic about how they're coming along. That was an impressive win. Do you realize last night that they had, or Sunday night, they had 9 undrafted players in the starting lineup? 9. Now, that includes a couple players like Welker and actually, it was Tarpinian that he was trying to come up with. He was one of them, Tarpinian, the linebacker. But, I mean, Welker, Waters, Conley, Laufermaid, Love, Arrington, Hideabo, Tarpinian, and more. 9 undrafted players in the starting lineup on Sunday night. That is sick. Absolutely sick. Tony says, Teddy and Rodney are in the media. It's their job to be critical, especially about the team they used to play for. I don't think they've been overly critical at all. I think they've been fine. I think they both do a really good job. I thought Rodney's interview with Welker and Deion Branch was hysterical on Sunday night. And Welker really got him. Welker zinged him in the end. You know, he got him. But Rodney knows. They know what's going on over here. They're not stupid. And they know what kind of character this organization has as a whole. So anyway, Amy says on Facebook, "Hey Pete, how do you really feel about Mr. Foot Fetish and the Jets?" Well, I think we all know about that. That was funny. He was cursing an outtime again on my Facebook page. The two you can see the I Hate the Jet montage videos that I have up there. You can also see the Foot Fetish. Rex Ryan further down, swearing at a fan at halftime. It's all up there in case you missed it. Lucio on Facebook says, "Hey Pete, I just wanted to say that one of the other things that helped us out on Sunday was eliminating a lot of those stupid penalties. Even some of the ones we got like Gronk's, I thought was awesome, and Wilfork's way to make them even feel more intimidated. Would love to hear back and let's go past." No, you're absolutely right, Lucio. You're absolutely right. And that's what happens. You know, that Sergio Brown, the 2 interference calls against the Giants last week were horrible. And I mean, not horrible calls by the refs. They were good calls. Horrible penalties by Sergio Brown. Cost them the game. I mean, they cost them the game. You gave the Giants 38 yards of free yardage of that last drive. Terrible. So this team is 2 plays away from being 9-1, but they're not. They're 6-3. So they are what they are. They're in first place in the AFC East. They'll be contending once again for the AFC, as you know, and that really never changed in my mind. And they're certainly going to be contending for the Super Bowl because I think they're going to roll off 7 wins in a row here. And you look at the Giants' schedule coming up, and it is absolutely brutal. And I thought Eli was in his horrible interceptions on Sunday, really did them in. Unfortunately, that's a game the Giants probably should have won, but didn't happen. Did not happen. Let's see. What else we got here on Facebook? Let me see. Zach says, "One comparison to the 3 losses we had this year to the 2 we had last year. So far, the 3 losses this year, 2 to playoff-caliber teams, were by an average of 5 points, whereas last year's loss to the Jets was by 14 and to Cleveland by 20 for an average of 17. In short, last year's losses were blowouts, signals that at times the team could be very inconsistent. This year we're talking every game into the final minutes, even in a few cases we're falling short. What I take from that, even if the record doesn't quite show it, is the team overall, emphasis added, is actually more, not less consistent in its play than last year. Your thoughts?" Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It just, to me, the Cleveland loss last year was the worst one they've had in the regular season, besides the Jets playoff loss, but and even that loss, to me, in a lot of ways, wasn't as bad as if it wasn't a playoff game, it had obviously much higher implications, but that Cleveland loss last year was as discombobulated, like I said, as they were. And people forget this. It started if it weren't for Gronkowski turning the ball over in that Cleveland game twice, you know, once in a fumble and once on special teams and a kickoff return, that game could have been very different, but it ended up being pretty ugly. But the Patriots really, they beat themselves in that game for a lot of it, even though Hillis ran crazy. So, yeah, I think that loss looked a hell of a lot worse than the loss to the Giants and the loss to the Steelers. Because they still win both of those games. The Patriots had the lead in the Giants game right down the stretch and had a chance to take the lead in the Steeler game as well. So, hey, that's not that big a deal in my opinion. You know, they go 13-3, that or even 12-4. That's a great season in the NFL. That's a great season in the NFL. Email me, webradio at patriot.com, webradio at patriot.com, and Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D, or you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Tony says, Pete, first of all, congratulations on your recent nuptials. Thank you, my friend. On the Jets game, I predicted a score of 34-20. I guess I gave the Jets too much credit and the Pats not enough. But just as everyone overreacts after a loss, I'm not putting our Pats in the Super Bowl just yet, however. And I agree with you. You gotta love the way the rest of the schedule is breaking for us, which will also give our secondary some time to heal before being tested by a real QB. Having said all that, if you really think about it, is there even a quarterback that you'd be worried about in the AFC? Schaub out, Flacco is a joke, Sanchez is a joke, Rivers might not even be there, but even so, he's not playing well. If Big Ben is the best we have to face, it's hard to imagine us not going to Indy this year. Love the show, Pete. Keep up the great work. Well, Flacco's problem is Flacco doesn't play well against bad teams and plays pretty well against better teams. And I don't see. And this is what I'm saying. I don't care what Baltimore's defense is. You win the Super Bowl by being. It's going to be the best overall team. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily be the best defense or the best offense or the best special teams or have the best quarterback. But you better be damn good in the majority of all those phases of the game, or pretty good. And like I said, and the most important thing is. Your quarterback. If your quarterback cannot beat good teams and be consistent, you're not going to win. I don't care what kind of defense they have that you think might be able to overcome it. I disagree. If Flacco plays as inconsistent as he has, they're not going anywhere anytime soon, anything significant. But my feeling is he'll probably bounce back, obviously, and look better than he did. I mean, that was just, I mean, Seattle. I actually picked Seattle with the points in that game here. By the way, my miraculous lock of the week is now 7-2 after Dallas destroyed Buffalo. Bills are in big trouble. And this is why I told you guys earlier on in the season, you see teams like Buffalo start out 4-0. And what did I say? I said, I've seen it before with teams like Denver start out at 6-0 and miss the playoffs entirely. People had the damn Buffalo Bills after week 3 and 4 in the Super Bowl already. Just overreaction. Overreaction. The NFL does not work that way. I keep trying to drill into people's heads. And when you have character like this Patriot team does, and they have proven it time and time again over the last 11 years, you can overcome some deficiencies on defense and sometimes even on offense. It can happen. It can happen. But you got a great coach and a great quarterback and a lot of savvy veterans out there that won't let it happen. And some of these other teams don't have that yet. And you find out about your team character-wise when you are at your lowest or going through a big, you know, bump on the road like the Patriots did the last couple of weeks. Teams like Buffalo and maybe even Detroit now may not be able to recover. We'll see. Buffalo's still in the hunt, but I think they're in serious trouble. I think the Lions, even though I picked them at the beginning of the year to make the playoffs, I think they're going to be in some trouble here. Because they became unglued on Sunday. As soon as a bleep hit the fan, early on in that game, they were in trouble. And why you kicked the Hester at all is beyond me. That's another story for another time. And also, somebody remind me of telling you, you talk about coaching, and you talk about, and this is why I hope people watch the Red Zone and watch some of these other teams. So watch the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. And Sean Payton, who I respect a lot, and I know I had issues with the opening day against Green Bay when the Saints should have won that game against Green Bay opening night. They absolutely should have. He cost them, single-handedly cost them that game. And I'm going to tell you why coaching means so much. Not now, because I'm going to get to Tyrone and Delaware in a second. But Sean Payton in the Falcon game, coaching the Saints on Sunday, absolutely unbelievable how that game even got to overtime. You talk about piss poor clock management. And some of the play calling that was called with like 90 seconds to go, when initially that game should have been, they should have run the clock out, had a chance to run the clock out, or at least give Atlanta only like 15 seconds left with the ball deep in their territory. Instead, they let the Falcons hang around. It goes to overtime, and it wasn't for a stupid call by Mike Smith at his own end of the field on a fourth down play. Falcons could have won that game either, too, but and the Saints would have lost. But because of bad coaching on both sides, you know, the lesser of two evils in that game won, which ended up being the Saints and Sean Payton. All right, let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. It's our pal Tyrone in Delaware. Hello, Tyrone.
Hey, what's up, Pete? How you doing?
I'm great, my friend. How are you?
All right, feeling a little better, but, you know, I guess you deserve some credit there.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was wrong.
That's okay. You and about 100 other media members on the planet were wrong, but that's all right.
But you see, the thing is, my concern, and like I said, you know, the team, they showed some moxie, and they got the job done. I was shocked. And, you know, I noticed Tom Brady was, like, moving away from the pocket a little bit, make sure, you know, so he had some time to throw. So, you know, it was a good win. It was a good win against a good team that was hot. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sold on Bill.
Tyrone, I lost you. Either call back or your cell phone just died or whatever. But call back and we'll try to get a clear signal and get you back on. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. We're broadcasting live at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PeteShepard. Anyway, again, on my Facebook page, I have the two montages of I Hate the Jets that are there, and also the link of further down is the link of Rex Ryan crushing the fan, which is just absolutely hysterical. Actually, there's a bunch of people that posted it now, but that's what not got removed. What got removed was the second montage of I Hate the Jets, which this one's even just as good. My friend, I think Tyler, once again came up and brilliant, absolutely brilliant what he did. Holy crap, it's 5:02. Jesus. Wow. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick later on today as well from his conference call. And there is nothing more joyous for Bill than a big win over the Jets. I'll tell you what. You can't get him to shut up, which is great. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Dave in Monterey says, hey, Pete, did you catch the game rant by Rex to his players concerning all the no-namers? They are who we thought they were. We let them get away. That's a Coach Green soundbite. Yes, I agree. I agree completely. All right, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Is that Tyrone back from Delaware? Okay, let me go back to Tyrone. Hi, Tyrone, you got a better signal?
Yeah, you can hear me.
Oh, there we go. Yep, much better, much better. Just a bad connection there.
All right. Well, like I said, I was wrong, but the team showed some moxie and stuff like that, and they got the job done. And you know, like you always say, it's not an overreaction. I wasn't overreacting about the defense. I was just saying that, you know, in order for us to help that defense, we got to put some points on the board. You know what I'm saying? So and that came into fruition Sunday. So
yeah,
it was a good win. A lot of us wrote them off, but they showed some moxie and they came back. So,
but if you follow this team over the years, Tyrone, you have seen, and it's not just you, believe me, there's a ton of people, local and national, not just media, but fans alike, who it's not necessarily overly related to the Patriots. A lot of fans, because that's what they are, they're fans, when their team hits a bump on the road, or two straight weeks, you know, all hell breaks loose. But it surprises me at some of the Patriot fans and some of the media alike who have followed this team for the last decade. They have seen this team hit bumps in the road before, and they have a resiliency about them that most teams don't have. And that's why when they bounce back from games and losses like what happened a couple, you know, the last 2 weeks, they usually come back and kick ass. And
yeah,
really, they never just win like, you know, squeak one out 17-16. They usually blow out the team. That's what is truly amazing about what Bill Belichick and this team have been able to do. That's all. That's all. That's the only point I was trying to get across to some people.
I wasn't questioning the coaching, and I wasn't questioning the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So once you got those two, you know, the reason why we got an excellent quarterback and we got excellent coach. My concern is going forward is that, you know, Gronkowski, he's playing like a man possessed. But, man, we just using him too much, man. I just feel like we got to stop and develop somebody else, like a Taylor Price or somebody, so we could have him fresh going into playoffs.
But Tyrone, what does Taylor Price have to do with Gronkowski? Price can't even.
Listen to me what I'm saying.
No, I know, but Price can't even make it on the field. I think what was a good thing, at least a start, hopefully, if something, you know, okay, was Chad catching a couple of passes, one for 53 yards on, if he can just do that a couple of times. Don't forget, this team also has Hernandez, but you're talking about, you're not going to sit Gronkowski out a whole lot of plays here, Tyrone. That's just because he's a big part of the offense.
Well, remember what happened to Wes Welker when we, when I think it was, is it 2008 or 9?
No, it was 2008 when the last game of the season against Houston. But that was a freaky issue. That had nothing to do with the hit. It had to do with the turf. He just twisted his knee on that crappy turf in Houston.
No, because, you know, right before that play, I remember vivid. Right before that play, I'm thinking to myself, this ball going to Welker. And I'm thinking subliminally, you know, suppose this man get hurt. And he got hurt.
No, so I know, but Tyrone, but you can't.
He used him too much. I would just like to see, you know, him get a blow once in a while because he's on the field constantly. Because if you notice, teams is going after his leg. If you notice, he getting undercut below the waist. And if he getting hit like that, we using him so much, it just eventually going to break down. I'm just saying that we got to implement more people in offense. That's all I'm saying.
I think they'd like to get, if Price can make it through a week of practice without, you know, a hamstring injury, I think they'd like to see Price out there. But you're talking two different positions. The fact that Chad Brown, Johnson caught a couple of, passes were big. I think that's going to help. But Gronkowski and Hernandez are big parts of their offense, Tyrone. I just don't think you're going to see those two guys miss a whole bunch of plays a lot of times.
But what I'm saying is if we could, in the playoff, my concern is instead of us going down the field 5-6 times and bam, touchdown, we got to work the way to field, and it's more things could have to go wrong, like a sack or whatever, if you got to go 15 plays. All I'm saying is we got to get somebody. I saw they cut Tyquan Underwood. I mean, all I'm saying is we need some other options. That's all, because the man is a beast. Let's make sure we preserve him and let's go on. But anyhow, I'll talk to you guys later. Like I said,
alrighty.
I'm sure you high and mighty because you was right. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is, my friend. Okay, take care. Have a great one. Well, I'm sure we'll talk to you tomorrow or the next day. That's Tyrone in Delaware. Great Patriot fan. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we come back more. We're doing this show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. KC producing today without the Sunshine Band. That's Kevin Collins to you and me. And he's got his boogeyman going on, whatever that thing is. Call us on the A-Stickin' Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me as I send the A-Stickin' Hotline. And you can also Facebook me, Pete Shepard. PeteShePPard. More emails to get to, more phone calls, and we'll hear from Bill Belichick's conference call early today as well, coming up on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. Back after this.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. Droid.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new bakery-fresh chicken and tuna salad sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Everybody!
I ain't the judge. I ain't the judge. I ain't the judge.
welcome back to hour number two, or what's left of hour number two, 514 here, and our beautiful Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. It's yours truly, Pete Shepard, here until 6 tonight. We're back here Wednesday and Thursday as well. Again, call me on the 8-Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriot.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. I got to get into the I got emails to read. I got Facebook messages to read. I got to go through Tyler Palko's resume here. But before we do all that, we head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, and we check in with our buddy Foster in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Foster.
What's going on, Pete?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, especially after their win with the Jets.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, if you're where you are, your neck of the woods, I'm sure you're a Patriot fan, but they got to be reeling yesterday after the Falcons gave that game away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a horrible decision.
Horrible on both sides.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You got Michael Turner. Why are you going to run directly through the middle? I don't know why you wouldn't.
But how about, I brought this up before the break, how about with a couple minutes to go, Sean Payton's horrible play calling, where he really should have should have run the clock out, and had to he could have run the clock out or given the Falcons maybe 10 seconds of time left. Instead, he screws up, and the Falcons go get the tying field goal, and it goes to overtime. I think Sean Payton single-handedly really should have lost that game for them coaching wise yesterday. But you know, they got lucky that Turner ran right up the middle. That call by Mike Smith was awful, but. We move on.
I agree with you on that one. What I'm going to call you about is there's a lot of Packers fans. I don't know what, for whatever reason, down here in Atlanta. And everyone's comparing them to, you know, Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady. And I don't understand it. I mean.
Well, you can understand it this year. I mean, Rodgers is playing the best of any player in the NFL right now. There's no doubt about that.
And here's my argument with that.
But that's this year for the first 9 games, and he looks absolutely flawless out there. Flawless. But we as Patriots fans, we have seen this before, so this is nothing new for us. It's new for Packer fans, and there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of new bandwagon Packer fans, because it's a trendy thing to do, and the Packers are a nice, likable team from the Midwest, and they don't talk a lot and all that stuff, and that's fine. And Rodgers is very much like Brady in his demeanor as far as saying the right things and not giving anybody bulletin board material and, you know, keeping his mouth shut, all that stuff. But, you know, look, do it over the same number of years with the kind of players that the Patriots have had first, okay? Before I start comparing Tom Brady to Aaron Rodgers, or Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady, he has got a long, long way to go before he can be considered in the same class. Now, this year, this year he's the MVP right now through 9 games. There is no doubt about it. There isn't even a debate. He is playing flawless football. There's no way, shape, or form anybody can deny that. But it's week 9 right now. Let's see what happens.
Oh, no, but the teams that they've played other than the Chargers, you know, they've all had losing records. I mean, he hasn't really played anybody. I mean, they played the Vikings twice.
Yep. And one was a very close game.
The Chargers almost beat them.
Well, Vikings almost beat them too, but almost doesn't count. And you know, I look, the bottom line is, for the most part, the man has played flawless football. Now they're going to have, I'm hoping that Detroit at least gives him one good game on Thanksgiving Day. That should be a pretty entertaining game. I'm sure the Packers are going to hit a bump on the road here or there. I don't think they're going to go undefeated. I think they will hit a bump in the road. The NFC is not as strong as the AFC, in my opinion. So, yeah, and their division, the Bears look like a much better football team now. You still don't know what you have in Detroit. They're done with Minnesota. So we'll see. But you can't deny this year, right now, at least through 9 games, that Aaron Rodgers is by far, he's been the best player in the National Football League. He's been just about flawless. So, but again, it's 9 games. It's 9 games. This is Brady's been back there for 11 years, quarterbacking this team, 3 Super Bowl rings, and he has done it with some wide receivers that nobody would ever even believe how he's gotten this team to AFC Championship games before. So, Aaron Rodgers, as great as I think he is and will be, before you start putting him in the same sentence as Tom Brady, a long, long way to go.
Oh, I agree with you on that one. And I mean, it just seems like he's overrated to me. I mean, he's got a lot of talent on his team where he just has to, you know, get the ball, throw the ball up in there, and Greg Jennings will go over there and grab it.
Well,
I think
let's be fair. I don't think you can say he's overrated. He's a great player. And you look at last year. Remember last year, they had to win the last two games of the regular season to get in the playoffs as a sixth seed. And then he just took it to another level after that. And they did. They're the defending Super Bowl champions for a reason. They had to scrap and scrape to get to the playoffs last year. But once they got there, they haven't lost since.
Yeah, I mean, I say he's overrated, but he's still rated. I mean, he's a good player and all, but
no, he's a great player.
People are just giving him too much credit, like I said, comparing him to Brady or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I mean, and all these Patriots fans that was pounding their own team, talking about how we're not going to get in the playoffs or whatever because we lost two games in a row. But yeah, I think the Packers were 10-6 with a wild card before they got into the Super Bowl and
yep.
the playoff.
Yep.
I mean, give your team a break, you know. I'm the biggest Pats fan, and I know up here in Atlanta. give your team a break here. They lost two in a row, and you're going to tell them they're not going to make it to the playoffs.
Well, that's right. And you know what? Let's see what happens but this is what happens with fair weather fans, and the Packers have a lot of bandwagon fans, and they have a lot of fans anyway because of their history, and a lot of people are, still sold on Brett Favre during those years and all that stuff, but the Packers will hit their little bump in the road too. It'll happen. And, then you'll find out, what some of these fans and, the real character of their team will be tested when things are going badly, not when things are going great.
Exactly. And I hope the bump in the road that you're talking about was going to be us in the Super Bowl. I hope they go undefeated and have to play us in the Super Bowl and we take it to them.
Wouldn't that be something if that happened?
That'd be awesome.
That would be one hell of a game.
All right, Pete. I love the show, man.
Foster, you're the best.
Take care, brother.
Okay, take care. Love Foster in Atlanta, Georgia. But I'm telling you, if you talk about, forget Aaron Rodgers and the Brady and that, because it's a nice debate. But look, we all know the truth. If you've been watching over the last decade or so, and what's really sad is Rodgers should have been in there much earlier than he was. Wasn't that fraud Favre? Kept him out. But it is what it is. But to go back and watch Sean Payton coach that game on Sunday against the Falcons. I mean, just you talk about, I'm just screaming at the television, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, Bill, if Bill could watch this game, maybe he was. I'm saying if Bill was watching this game, he must be like wanting to pull the hair out of his head to see what bad clock management can do for a team. And those two pretty good teams, New Orleans and Atlanta. And Sean Payton, the way he coached down the stretch, those last few minutes of that game, really, the Falcons had no business tying that game up at the end, but Sean Payton allowed it to happen because instead of running the clock out or running it down to almost nothing, which he very well could have after a punt, maybe the Falcons, I think, would have had somewhere between 10 and 15 seconds left. He starts throwing the ball, even though the Falcons only had one timeout left. I'm telling you what, it was a debacle. And then for Mike Smith to return the favor by sending Turner up the middle from the Falcons, deep in their own territory, at the 34-yard line, and that didn't work out. And then you give the Saints a gift win. Terrible, terrible coaching on both sides down the stretch. I remind everybody, tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll have Kent Babb of the Kansas City Star. He'll join us here to talk Chiefs football. So here's the thing I was telling you about, and I'll get to the some of the emails again in a second. And again, email me, webradio@patriot.com. Here is, now, everybody knows by now, if you don't know, that Matt Castle will not be playing. He's got a busted finger, and he's out for the rest of the year. So Tyler Palco, in case you're wondering who he is, okay, he was a starter at Pittsburgh for a few years back in the mid-2000s. He didn't get drafted. So here's how much football this guy has played since his days at the University of Pittsburgh, which I believe Wanstead was coaching back then. All right. Signed by New Orleans as a free agent in 2007. Now, again, he's undrafted. Mostly on the practice squad in 2007, and then doesn't even play in 2008. Okay. Signed by Arizona in December of 2008. Waived by Arizona in September of 2009. 2009, and I still, and Kev, maybe you can Google this because I don't know what this is. But He signs in 2009 of September with a team from California. No, not the Raiders, not the 49ers, not the Chargers. He signs with the California Redwoods in September of 2009. Never heard of them. Don't know what they are. I didn't have time to Google it before the show. But what's even more incredible is that he got cut by them. He got cut by them in the preseason by the California Redwoods. It must be some independent league thing. So, then he signs with the Steelers to the practice squad in November of 2009, somehow overcoming the humility or the embarrassment of being cut by the California Redwoods. He signs with the Steelers practice squad in November of 2009. He's released in December of 2009.
It's a UFL team.
Oh, okay. UFL. That he couldn't make.
Yeah.
Assigned by the Chiefs in March of 2010, and he's been a practice squad player until 48 hours ago when they called him up.
It's basically, for all intents and purposes, a minor league football.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was. I'm kind of being half facetious, but I mean, how do you get cut in the preseason? The preseason by the California Redwoods, and now this is who your starting quarterback is for the Chiefs coming up on Monday night. Yuck. Could be very ugly. Could be very ugly. I find it funny. But I mean, you talk about not prepared. Matt Castle, think about where the Chiefs were last year as opposed to now. Unbelievable. Gene and Daytona says on web radio at Patriots.com says, Pete and Kevin, I am with you on the character of this team, and I believe it all comes directly down from our head coach. I think Sunday Bill got the most satisfaction when he threw those first-time starters and free agent rookies into the worst of situations and asked them to believe in each other, and they did. When was the last time Bill gave his team a Monday and Tuesday off? I can't remember. Well, that's not true. Well, I mean, Monday's a film session day. Tuesday they always have off anyway after a Sunday game. So Monday, yeah, Monday's usually they come in to watch film. It's not a might lift a little bit. Not a heavy load day for the team mostly on Monday. But yeah, true. Bill loves to teach, and seeing his guys respond to what he has taught like they did Sunday gives the most satisfaction. I can't see Bill ever doing anything else in life that could possibly match coaching for him. I think he will coach for a long time, and we should be grateful to have him and Tom Brady. I'm with you. Well, when I was at EEI, we used to ask Bill several times, asked him if he wasn't coaching football, what he wanted to do, and he's very candid, said, I'd coach lacrosse. I'd like to coach lacrosse. Tiff in Wisconsin. Haven't heard from Tiff today. Hi, Pete. You and Fred could not make feel better of me going to the Jets game. I think I am more influenced by Andy and Paul, the two pessimists. Here is the irony. One of my closest friends is a Jets fan, and he tried to cheer me up for the past 2 weeks. He said the Patriots fans are unbelievable. Even when the Patriots win, you guys complain. He's right. Sometimes we don't win the right way. That's meant to be a joke. I know, Tiff. I got you, babe. My problem is that I truly expect the Patriots to win every single game. Every single game. When we don't win, football is over and the season should be canceled. I deserve the ridicule. Sorry, Patriot Nation. However, I doubt that I will change. Best part of the game, Brady just killing the Jets' defensive line. Someone should tell Brady he isn't Mike Vick. That's a joke. Oh. And another thing, did you hear what the PFW guy said about Rodgers? You will all acquiesce to my opinion of Rodgers. He's a jerk. He was passed up by San Francisco because the GM didn't like him personally. It had nothing to do with his play. Just watch him. P.S. Don't compare those Penn State Joe Pa losers to the Occupy Wall Street movement. I don't know if I did that. Did I? I think Occupy Wall Street is a joke anyway. I think that's another joke, but that's another time because you're not really accomplishing anything. You're just wasting money, getting people sick, and you're not really doing anything. And half the people don't even know what the hell they're protesting about, which is the funniest part. But I'm not getting into politics and that crap because it's really not what we do here. But really, of course I'm not going to compare what happened at Penn State to Occupy Wall Street, but I love when they do show these occupied cities and towns, some of them, and there's like three people. That's the best. Well, we should have Occupy the Studio here at Gillette. Let's do that. Occupy Gillette. We'll just all hang out, you know. All hang out for a little while. Sing songs, sing Kumbaya, have marshmallows, have insulated tents.
I don't know much about, I mean, I know the basic premise of that whole thing. And, hey, whatever, people have their right to do whatever they want,
yeah.
Free speech, all that crap.
Within the letters of the law.
Yeah, but where it crosses the line is when you're either breaking the law,
yeah,
or what I take personally, Pete, is when I see on the news or in the newspaper these people my age, maybe a little bit younger, mm-hmm. stomping on the American flag.
Yeah, I know. It's just
like
it's
there's
atrocious.
No place for that.
Ah, it's atrocious, you know. It's just half these people don't know what they're talking about anyway. And you know, they're just whatever. But they have the right to do it. They have their permits and their little, you know, beliefs. And, you know, that's no less or more important than yours or mine. But it's just the way you go about it. I just you can sit there and occupy. I mean, it's not like you're having these little mini Woodstock protests out there. You're not doing anything. You're not going to influence anybody. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to sit there and change the world by sitting in a park and stinking up the joint. It ain't going to happen. Dick from Framingham says, Pete, like your steady-as-it-goes approach with the Patriots. Random comments at my end. One, Rob Ninkovich, like when he plays back, don't like when they have him pass rush, except when maybe shadowing Roethlisberger. Is he now taking over Gary Guyton's role? Well, I think Rob's always been best in coverage. I mean, he's had a couple games. He had a game last year against Miami down there where he had a couple of picks. And I love when Rob's in coverage. I think he does a real good job for the most part. Dietrich, sort of taking up for Mike Wrights as a bit of a quick burst, like his ability to move the pile next to Wilfork. Obviously could also play end, but look great going inside the Jets, and maybe it's easier for defensive ends to get to Sanchez. Could be an important line development. Well, and I'll tell you what helps with that, and you're right, but what is big with the defensive line is Carter getting 4.5 sacks and getting that kind of pressure. When you get that kind of pressure, all of a sudden things get a lot easier. Kyle Love, Wilfork, and you know, those guys, much different when you get that kind of pressure up front. So hopefully that will continue. Because like I said, you keep getting the kind of pressure they got, or close to it anyway, in the rest of these games, then as banged up as their secondary is, they can overcome some of those deficiencies. I absolutely believe it. Alonzo says, thanks for playing that, Pete. I was in the shower singing with you loud and proud. Well, that's a little disturbing, but okay, well, I appreciate it. Let's see. Clint says, it says, Houston fan. Clint from Houston, Texas. We can contend only if we can get help in the secondary. By the way, I'm a New England fan. Oh, okay. Well, there's a long way to go. But Houston, Houston's playing pretty well right now. Playing pretty good. All right, calling on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Tell you what we're going to do, because after wins like this, you can't get enough of what Bill has to say. And this is not something that he said yesterday. This is from today via conference call. Once again, here is head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, talking about the Jets. And does he touch on Kansas City? Well, we'll find out. But definitely he does touch on Kansas City. But, again, more from Bill Belichick earlier today here on Patriots.com.
Dove into the pool here on Kansas City all day yesterday and a little bit here this morning. You know, I think they're you know, an impressive team, do a lot of things well, as kind of I would expect from many of the people that I know there, starting with, you know, Scott, Todd, Romeo, Bill Muir, and so forth, and many other people that I've worked with or coached. They're well coached. They're tough. They're a disciplined football team. You know, they really do a good job of doing what they do, not making a lot of big mistakes, not making a lot of, you know, plays that are just give the other team opportunities. You got to really go out there and execute well and earn it. And I think that they're, you know, a team that won their division last year. That they've played some, you know, real good football. Kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, then they played some real good football, and then, you know, it hasn't quite gone for them the last couple weeks like they wanted to, but we know what they're capable of. They have a lot of good football players. in all three phases of the game. They're an explosive team, with an outstanding pass rusher in Holly and outstanding coverage player in Flowers and good speed at linebacker, big play receiver in Bo, strong running game with, Battle, Jones, McCluster, whoever they try to use, McCluster in return game. So, they do a lot of things. They have a lot of good players. They do a lot of things well. And it's a team we don't know very well, so we're really going to have to do a good job with our preparation and making sure that we, find out a lot about these guys in a hurry, which is what we're trying to do now, obviously.
Bill, how have you seen Matt Castle grow and evolve as a quarterback since he left you guys after 2008?
Well, Matt's a real good. He's doing a lot of the same things he did for us in 2008. I watched him last year, getting ready for the off season as we looked at our new opponents. We hadn't played Kansas City, and Matt's doing did what he what he did for us in 2008, and that's win games. He made plays with his feet. He could run, scramble, real good arm, threw the deep ball well. Made a lot of big plays with Bo, managed the team well, made good decisions. He's a smart player. They check some plays, line of scrimmage based on different looks and so forth. So obviously, he can handle that well. So I think he played about the way he played in here in 2008 and has built on it, improved on it, in all the areas.
What do you know about Tyler Palco?
Sorry. He's a player that we've got to do some work on, and spend more time watching him. We, of course, haven't seen a lot of him in regular season game film, mostly back to preseason. But, it's an athletic player. Quick release, can move around back there in a pocket, left-handed, and sees the field pretty well. I think they have a lot of confidence in him. He played ahead of Stansy this year in preseason, and I know, Stansy's the guy they drafted. There's a lot to like about him, too, so, we'll have to be ready for both those guys. But, obviously he played well enough to, to move into that second spot. And we all know from the 2008 season here and many other examples of teams we played against, but everybody wrote us off in 2008 when we lost Tom and Matt led us to 11 wins. So, we're playing against a football team, not just one player. And we know that, whoever they have in there, whether it's Palco, Stansy, or whoever it is, we're going to have to play a good football team. And again, it's the team that won the division last year. And they have good, they have good coaches. They're well coached. They're disciplined. They have good depth.
So when you have one of the film on a quarterback, what other avenues can you utilize to get a gauge of what he is, his tendencies, and any way to prepare for him?
Yeah, well, no, that's really all we can do, and that's what we have to do. We have to look at the film that we have available, and fortunately we have, plenty of film available with him in their offense. What's hard sometimes is when you see a player and the only film you have on is when he's with another team, run another offense, and now you're trying to project that skill set into, an offense that is, doesn't match up with the player, but in this case it does, and I think any coach that loses, a starting quarterback, when you bring in whoever the other quarterback is, you certainly want to play to that player's strengths, to a degree, but at the same time, you can't have two different offenses. One for this guy, one for that guy. I mean, it's just, it's impossible. You can't do that. So, obviously, to keep the consistency there for the other 10 players who are, all good players and are playing well, then, there's got to be some carryover for them. And then the quarterback does what the offense requires him to do. And then, you make some modifications for him because of his skill set. But you just can't change everything that you do because one guy steps on the field or, kills the other 10 guys.
Coach, do you see that signs or earmark of this being a Pioli-made team?
I don't really know. What does that mean?
Well, how it's constructed, what their image is like, how they play, what they're like. I mean, he helped you build a number of Patriot teams. Do you see signs or similarities with the Chiefs teams, this Chiefs team?
You know, I mean, that's a tough question. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure how to answer that. I mean, they've obviously added, you know, players in, you know, in the last three drafts, and so they have some, you know, younger players on the team along with some of the guys who are already there. You know, Todd Haley, I coach with him at the Jets, and many of the other people that are on that staff I've worked with before, whether it be, you know, Romeo and Anthony Pleasant on the defensive side of the ball, or and Otis, obviously, or Maurice and Richie Anderson, Bill Muir on the offensive side of the ball, along with Todd Haley, Scott. So, you know, I mean, I think it's a mixture of all those things. There's certainly some similarities to some of the things that were at the Jets and, you know, in the 97, 98, 99 years that many of us were together. I think there, you know, there's some things that maybe you could relate to the Patriots. Romeo and I go way back to the Giants. It's probably some things that you could even, you know, the 3-4 defense and some of the things they do defensively and some of the players that they have. But, you know, again, going back to whether it's, you know, Maurice Carthon or Otis Smith or Anthony Pleasant, I mean, those guys were all, you know, we were all together at the Jets at one time. So, you know, there's a lot of intertwining there. And certainly, you know, Scott is, as the, you know, top guy in the organization has, you know, implemented his philosophy and, you know, but again, that's sort of, I think, you know, all those people have probably a high degree of that philosophy together. And sure, you see all that in the team.
Bill, by our calculations, you've reached a deadline with Marcus Cannon. Have you reached a decision on activating or not with him?
Yeah, I would expect that by 4 o'clock we'll make that decision and bring Marcus onto the roster. But we don't have anything to announce right now, though.
I'm sorry? You're going to bring him onto the roster?
We don't have anything to announce right now, but by 4 o'clock we will have to make that decision. And, you know,
I would
be on the roster. Yeah.
So, Sebastian, do you have any further news? Go ahead. Bill, Sebastian, we know Sebastian's been battling his back injury throughout the season. In his time that he's been able to play these last few games, how have you seen him get acclimated again within the game, and is he progressing as you would like?
Yeah, I think that you know, Sebastian's, you know, done a good job for us. He's, you know, gotten a lot of reps since the bye week, and, you know, it seemed like he kind of turned the corner. I mean, he was improving steadily, but like he finally kind of was able to turn the corner there after around the bye week and after the bye week. You know, it's good to have him out there. He's certainly, you know, a good player, one of our best players, and you know, he's a physical player. He's long, you know, and he really does, you know, most everything well on the field. It's good to have him back out there, and you know, it certainly makes us a better football team now that, you know, that he's back on the field. I mean, not that Nate, I'm not saying that, any commentary about Nate, because Nate's done a good job for us too. I'm just saying having another good football player, and at times all three of them are out there with, you know, Nate, Matt, and Sebastian, is, you know, that's good too.
Bill, how close is Dean Fletcher to getting back?
He's coming along. He's definitely getting there. You know, seeing that each day he's, you know, he seems more upbeat and more positive on the results and how he's coming, what he's able to do. So, you know, just keep taking it day by day. But he's, you know, he's making good progress.
Any updates on Devin McCourty?
No.
One player that you, that was a longtime Chief that you've added to your team is Brian Waters. What has he meant to your team and to your offensive line thus far?
Yeah, Brian's come in and done an outstanding job for us. We got him right at the beginning of the season. He, you know, he certainly had a lot of had to make a big adjustment from, you know, not being here in training camp and Fortunately, I think, you know, a lot of the terminology and things like that, there was some carryover. I'm not saying it was the same, but there was definitely some carryover for him and helping to learn the system. But he's really worked hard at, you know, just doing everything that you would want a player to do. Worked hard and studying his plays and being in his notebook and watching film and asking questions. And he's very well prepared. I mean, he's a real good, you know, he's a true professional. And he really works hard at his job. He takes a lot of pride in it and, you know, studies all the details. And he's been very good with helping, like when Donald Thomas came onto the roster after him, of, you know, working together with him and you know, teaching him things, but, you know, studying together, things like that. So from that standpoint, you know, he's been great. You know, he's worked hard to, you know, get into football condition. He's played a lot of football for us. I think he showed a lot of toughness there in the Jets game where he, you know, got rolled up on the second play of the game and, you know, came out and kind of taped back up and went back in and played well. So I think he's added a lot to our line and our entire football team. I mean, he's earned everybody's respect here. He's tough. He's a good football player. He's really made some outstanding plays, just like individual plays that, you know, I'd say not, you don't see many other players at that position make. And so he's a high quality player. He's a high quality individual, very unselfish, team oriented.
All right, there we go. That's head coach Bill Belichick speaking early today via conference call, mostly about the Kansas City Chiefs and saying all the right things, as Bill always does, and every game is tough, but this is not going to be a tough game for his squad, and they will beat up on the Chiefs severely come here on Monday night. Tyler Palco, who 2 years ago was cut in preseason by the California Redwoods, he'll be making his first ever NFL career start against the Patriots here in Foxborough on Monday night. Oh, my goodness. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Still got a few minutes left before we end this first session of the week here on the Pete Shepherd Show. You can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me there, and also you can Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Pete, you hear the good news? They kicked the miscreants out of my park downtown. On Sunday, I was down at Ground Zero because I was supposed to meet Scalavino for a few minutes to say hello in person. Well, we missed each other, and afterwards, I walked a few blocks over to Zuccotti Park. Pete, let me tell you, that place was such an eyesore. I used to work across the street from there, and I couldn't believe how those Occupy Wall Street losers ruined this area. Now I feel validated because I have the great Pete Shepherd on my side. Hooray. Now, Kevin, give me a suggestion. A Snagglepuss exit stage left and send off.
So exit stage left.
Alonzo says, sorry about the shower talk, Pete. No, I'm just kidding, Alonzo. Didn't mean to cause concern. I'd like to say congrats on your marriage and thank you for being positive for all of us who turned negative at times. I did think the Jets were going to win, but my gut said differently. I'm glad my gut was right. My gut, by the way, is always right. I think in the future we fans should all just sit back, relax, and marvel at the thing of beauty, which is Brady's play and Bill's coaching. Thanks, Alex. There's another one over here I haven't read yet. Let me see. Gina D'Antoni says, hi, Pete and Kevin. Pete, I don't know if I'm hearing things, but it sure sounds to me like those people singing in that song, I Hate the Jets, are really saying, I hate the Jets. Does it sound that way to you? Kevin, if you play it again, listen to it closely. They really are saying, I hate the Jets. It's some kind of foreign language. Do you hear it too? Well, Gina, first of all, it's in Latin. And as it does at times sound like they are saying, I hate the Jets, but they're not saying that. In fact, the translation of the song is pretty interesting. What is it, Mia Karma? What's it called? I forget what it's
called. Like Carmina.
Carmina
Burana, yeah. I believe it is.
Now, Carmia, man. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. That's a real oldie but a goodie. But anyway, Yeah, it does sound like Sagan. I hate the Jets. Yeah, I've started some kind of a, you know, that's really started off as a goofy thing. And you know how sophomoric and, you know, goofy I can be at times with that stuff. But it has really caught on. I cannot tell you the private messages I get on Facebook for people who just ask me my permission, you know, to now, I should market it, Kev. We should somehow market this thing. And for Tyler, my Facebook friend, to do all that editing. I don't know how something like that takes, but that can't be that. That can't be easy. That's got to be, it takes some time to do that stuff. Came out great. The second montage is awesome. I mean, they're both great, but the second was even better. Lucio says, hey, Pete, one more thing. Have you heard if Rex is going to buy any more footballs after this game? If he is a done? If he does. If he does, you should throw that ugly vest he wears in the hole, too. Steve says, hey, Pete, they already have occupied Gillette. They'll meet this Monday night to get lubed up and watch kick-ass football. No, that's true. That's true. I know Kevin's looking forward to Monday night games. You basically sleep here, right? Do you even go home?
Yeah, I mean, well, let's see. The game starts at 8:30. Probably end by 11:30.
Your predecessor used to sleep on the floor sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, there used to be a big comfy chair that I slept in a few times right behind you in the studio.
Yeah.
And when we did some remodeling here and we got the new soundproofing, it somehow disappeared.
The big comfy chair was huge. I mean,
it was nice. I liked
all the time Diassi farted on that thing and fell asleep on it. It was just by the way, I'm hearing through my sources that there was almost that the coach almost got injured doing the big show yesterday. By my buddy Andy, the producer. It was an accident, but he almost decapitated Coach's head by swinging the door open over here.
And for all you that wanted Belichick gone out there, Andy almost did it for you.
Wow. So he's pissed off Wilfork this year. I already heard that story when you cut him off coming in here, because Andy drives like a maniac anyway. And then he almost decapitates the coach. Wow. Probably running in to give Glenn some useless piece of copy that Glenn probably should have had 2 hours ago. Andy, how can I function without you? How am I supposed to function?
Probably something to do with Grossman's or something.
Yeah. Or the wine and wine open.
You're making my point.
That's right. But wow, I mean, it was, that could have been disastrous. Imagine if Coach got injured doing a radio show, hitting the head by a door. Wow. Oh, we love Andy. Andy's the best. One of the great people in the radio business. Good friend. Anyway, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline there. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. You can also Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Tomorrow, as I said, and the 4 o'clock hour, Kent Babb of the Kansas City Star will join me to talk about the Chiefs. That's the Kansas City Chiefs to you and me. Once again, Tyler Palco will start at quarterback. If you're saying, who in God's name is that? And if you missed it before, I'll tell you again. He played college at Pittsburgh for a few years in the mid-2000s. Undrafted, signed by New Orleans as a free agent, undrafted free agent in 2007. Mostly played on the practice squad in 2007. He didn't play at all in 2008 for whatever reason. Back in football, signed by Arizona December of 2008, waived September of 2009, never made it above the practice squad. Signed by the California Redwoods of the UFL September of 2009, he got cut.
By the way, when I Googled California Redwoods, I'm an idiot. The first thing that came up is a giant tree, California Redwood
tree.
Well,
yeah.
So I had to, I then researched Redwoods football and then. But I was like, what in the world?
I see you learn something new every day. But California Redwoods is who he played. No, he didn't play for them. He got cut by them of the UFL in September. He signed in September 2009, got cut during the preseason. Couldn't make it with the Redwoods. Too tough. So signed by the Steelers on the practice squad in November 2009, released December of 2009. And finally signed by the Chiefs in March of 2010. Practice squad until like 48 hours ago when he was called up. He'll be making his first ever career start in the National Football League against the Patriots here on Monday night at Gillette Stadium with these wacko fans that are going to be going crazy. And that is just not a good thing for a rookie quarterback to start his career.
Hopefully it's a fun night and the whole team can relax a little bit and have some fun.
Well, no,
they get out to a big lead.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. I don't want them to relax. I don't want any more bad habits. I don't think they will. I think Bill is going to drill it into their heads this week that they come out firing. And, you know, I think he wants a huge lead in this game. You know, you don't want a team that banged up as Kansas City right now hanging around. And of course, I mean, I couldn't tell you one thing about the, if I remember this kid at all, it might be in one of the bowl games. I think they beat Oregon State one year. In a bowl game, a minor bowl game. I couldn't tell you one thing about what this guy's strengths or weaknesses are. I mean, you got cut 2 years ago by the California Redwoods. You couldn't make their roster, got cut in preseason. So how is anybody supposed to know? I can't even imagine for a head coach, what do you do? How do you, I mean, do you get preseason film? I guess if you're Bill, you call some friends and some of these other teams that drafted him or he's played for. Just to see what it's all about. Because this guy, nobody knows anything about. What a bad spot for him. On the other hand, you know, sometimes guys like that can be dangerous because the Chiefs have nothing to lose. They're still in the thick of things. That's the scary part. Oakland's at 5-4. Everybody else is at 4-5 in the AFC West, which is a bad division. So, you know, I don't expect Tyler Palco to come in here and do any kind of damage whatsoever. But there is that partly that curiosity about facing the unknown. This is an unknown who couldn't make the California Redwoods to get cut in preseason in 2009. We shall see. Well, that's just about going to do it for the first rendition of the Pete Shepherd Show this week. I want to thank everybody for all your tremendous emails. Again, the marriage nuptials keep coming in. Congratulations. Thank you all. So much. And my beautiful wife, Elaine, thanks you as well. She reads a lot of them. And she's a great, great sports fan. She's been a Patriot season ticket holder for a long time. But anyway, tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour, Kent Babb of the Kansas City Star will join me to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, we'll be taking more of your phone calls, more emails, and we'll continue to revel in the Patriots' kick-ass victory over the Jets. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. We are back tomorrow at 4 p.m. right here. Another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Have a great and safe rest of your Tuesday night. Bye-bye, everybody.